boots. Get on your boots, yeah. Free me from the dark dream, candy floss, ice cream. All the kids are screaming, but the ghosts aren't real. Here's what you gotta be, love and community. Laughter is eternity if joy is real.
Seven out of ten proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Well, that was maybe the longest intro music we've ever had for a guest.
At least it was a good song. Well, see how it says, you don't know how beautiful you are, so I figured it was good.
It was good. Actually, this Sabrina coming on. This lady is very beautiful.
Yes,
Sabrina Jalees is our next guest on The Drew Marshall Show. She is a comedian, an actor, keynote speaker, and writer based in New York City, which makes her cooler than if she was just Canadian. And she joins us all the way from, I think she's up in Ottawa or something right now. Sabrina, is that where you're at? Are you in Ottawa?
I have no idea where I'm at right now. I'm, like, sweating. My upper lip is, like, dripping
Ooh.
Right now because I've been trying to... I've been trying to chase reception for you, Drew.
Oh, that's so nice. So nice. You've been running around with your phone up in the air and, like...
Ah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I've been like pulling over, yelling at people on the side of the street, being like, "Where is the reception?"
Well, thank you for your time today. I know we are limited because you're off to some festivity of some sort, so we will be brief. But first of all, let's talk about Humble and Fred just for a second, can we?
Sure. Why don't we do that?
I think we should talk about them because, really, those two guys, like, they just, why can't they just retire? Why can't they just go away? Why do they can't, well, they have to keep reinventing themselves, and they can't make it on real radio, so they do, like, a podcast thing, and...
I mean, you're clearly at a different place in your career because I'm still sucking up to them. Putting them hands up, you know. I can't go where you're going, Drew. I mean, you're walking on dangerous territory.
Stop.
I'm promoting a tour right now. I can't knock people's podcasts.
No. I admire them greatly, and of course, later in the show, we're doing a segment called Bruxy Saves Humble from Hell. That's right, a pastor and an atheist, aka bitter Jew, talk about God. So that's a little bit later in the show. Okay, so we know you're funny. We know you're talented. We know you're pretty. But this backstory you have is why you're on our show today. Because, you know, this big Huffington Post article that I read, what a story. I thought the Christians had the market on excommunication-y, judgmental-y kind of stuff. But you go, Muslims. You go.
They're giving them a run for their money.
Yeah. So, so let's talk about, what was it, last holiday? Was it just this past holiday season where you sort of...
Yeah, so what happened was I got married to a woman. Cue the screaming and the horror.
Cue the screaming and horror, yes.
I got married to a lovely lady, and I obviously knew, when coming out to my family that it would be difficult for them and that, you know, that it would be a process, and so... I'd wanted to come out to them way sooner. My parents were hesitant, probably because they knew it was going to be, you know, maybe they knew what was to come better than I did. I was a little more optimistic. Basically, I came out to them, and they broke up with me. I got defriended on Facebook, and no one replied to my email. When my mom kind of sent out an email to the cousins, at least, the other generation, saying, "Hey, guys, what's up? Like, you know, Sabrina's your cousin, right? Can we not show some love?" There was the only responses were people who were some of my favorite cousins who said they their support for me ends here, and kind of like, you know, emails written like a eulogy about me, like, you know, she brought us a lot of love and joy, but her choices now. The only thing to do is to write about it and laugh about it. I mean, obviously, with time, it's been some months now, and some of them have come. Some of them are holding out their hands and sort of making a connection with me. But it's sort of the sad thing and kind of the pathetic thing is that it's like on the down low. It's like, I do love you, but just don't tell other people.
Oh, man. Okay, here's the thing. You've got a variety of reactions to the reaction. So here's one reaction you might get to your family's reaction. Sabrina, like, how can you expect them to do anything else but react like this? It's going to take them time. They've got to work this through themselves. You know, you've been working through this stuff for a lot of years and your own, you know, immediate family. So just give them time, right? This is just a big bond.
Well, I agree with that. That reaction to me, that's best case scenario, is that they need time. Now, I get that, I've called my tour brown listed, and that is sort of, it's a push. It's obviously a pushback, but for me, it's important to me to speak about this because I'm in a unique situation where I've got these awesome parents that do love me, and I don't feel ashamed of who I am, and I can have these conversations and sort of, yeah, but start talking about it so that going through this made me realize why, you know, some young gay people kill themselves. Mm. It's horrible. It feels horrible to be completely isolated and pushed away from your family. So to the reaction of, give them time. I, at any point in my life, if anyone from my family comes to me and says, hey, I love you, let's do this, I'll make out with them. JK, 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 JK.
JK, JK.
I'm just saying, I feel like, you know, one lesson that I feel like I've learned in my 28 years on this planet, and I'd love to sit on a soapbox about it, is that I'm not going to hold on to the anger. I'm sad, and I'm never going to forget that they made me sad, but it's more energy for me to hold on to this forever. To me, I'd rather just talk about it, feel it, know the reasons why. To me, I know that they love me, even the ones that aren't speaking to me. I know the reasons why. It's ignorance. It's a lack of, it's putting your blinders on and focusing on the rules that keep you in this box, which is your religion at this point. You know, when it comes to this, I'm not saying all religion is like people sitting in a box. I'm not going to make a box joke.
No, please
but,
don't.
You know, like, yeah, okay, so what's the second reaction? I just went on like a whole monologue.
No, I like it. Thank you very much, Johnny. people's reaction to the reaction of your family, or, you know, someone's going to say, well, give them time, you know, let them work through, you've been processing it. And the other one's going to say, screw them, just... You know, you don't need to put up with that, and you go, girl, and, you know, I don't know, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how many cocktails I've had, that is my reaction completely.
right.
But, yeah, I think one is more reactionary and immediate, which was as soon as it happened, and my mom especially, my mom is Swiss, and she's... my dad is the eldest of eight brothers and sisters. They all immigrated to Canada. Most of them, first stop was our basement. And my mom's been super generous and just like an angel to these people. And so to have them react in this way is a huge slap in the face. And it's going to take a long time for her to get out of that second reaction.
Yeah, because that's the other thing that might have kept this in a little longer is knowing that... your extended family would treat your immediate family like dirt. And, you know, you don't want to hurt, you don't want your mom and dad to hurt like that, right?
No, of course, yeah. And you know what, like, when I got married, it was like, what is my five-year plan with this secret now? It's like, I just keep on showing up to family things with my white best friend. Mm. Tell them she loves Ramadan, and then eventually we've got, like, a little kid best friend. It just doesn't make sense, and I'm not ashamed of who I am. It's like, you know, this is the happiest part of my life. Ironically, this growing up with this religion and this sense of family has really, you know, I'm sold on that. I'm sold on that aspect of being a human and having that person to build a family with.
Sabrina, has this tainted your view of God stuff or spiritual stuff or religious stuff or Muslim stuff?
I think I've always, you know, from having the white mom that didn't convert to Islam, I've always sort of been privy to the fact that it doesn't matter how strong your hold on religion is or how many times you go to the mosque or the church or wherever, it's about the way you live your life. Like, at the end of the day, any God, if there is a God, any God that I can get down with and make out with,
JK.
Any God that, any God that I could see as a, you know, as a positive person to worship would look at the real things. Like, you know, are you a good person? Do you treat other people well? Do you treat other creatures that God has created well? You know, like, I can't see how going to church or following rules that were clearly created by men, like way back in the day, would weigh heavier than being a good person, helping other people out, treating people with respect. Has this particular? I think every, you know, obviously every time, you know, this is a huge thing that's happened in my life, and when something like this happens, this is a point against religion. In so many cases, with so many religions, you see how people are blinded by these archaic rules, and it's disruptive to actually living a harmonious and positive and joyful life.
Amen.
Is that a nice sentence?
Oh, that was lovely. Folks, on the phone with Sabrina Jaliz. She is a comedian, she's an actor, she's a keynote speaker, she's a writer, she's
A ninja.
We just had a phone caller that I was telling Tim, dude, why are you talking to someone on the phone so loudly while I'm interviewing a rock star here? And Tim said to me,
because he was ticking me off.
But why?
He was calling, complaining that we're giving too much airtime to the gays.
Really?
And not giving enough airtime to the Christian perspective.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yes.
Right. Right.
So I suggest that he read his Old Testament again and realize that God mentions homosexuality as much as he mentions gluttony. And, you know,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, and maybe he's going through the drive-thru for the third time. So anyways, if we're not going to let gays in the church, then fat people stay out too.
Do you think that was really his point?
I don't know what his point was, because this stuff burns my blood.
You're not a good listener when you get angry.
No, I'm not.
Sabrina.
Sorry, what was that, Drew?
First of all, yeah. Sabrina, we want to thank you. You're not going away yet. It sounds like I'm saying goodbye. But we want to thank you for coming out on our show. And no, that's not what I meant. For coming on our show. And because this is a weird phenomena for a lot of Jesus people. You know, they're still kind of getting used to the gays when they go on the Google and do the research on the gays. You know, they're still a little weirded out by this stuff. And
that's why I think it's important to come out, because I think, you know, just the same way racism, it's bred by, if you don't know a black person and all you watch is like gangster movies or hip hop videos, you meet Obama, you'd be terrified.
Yeah.
So, you know, people like Ellen DeGeneres and Anderson Cooper are awesome. This is exactly what needs to happen. And obviously, in my small little way, I feel like in the beginning of my career, I really was weighing. I was like, well, maybe I just won't come out till I'm famous. And then when I'm famous, but it's like, we're not at a place anymore where you can justify not coming out. I think it's a huge injustice, not only to yourself, but to the people around you, gay or straight. You know, if you work in an office and you're a cool person and people like you, what a great thing for them to know that you're a gay person. And yes, it's going to take, you know, maybe a few months for some people to digest the fact that, yeah, it's the same, you're the same person.
You know, I wish it would actually work in reverse for a lot of Christians. I wish they wouldn't tell people that they were a Christian because of the way they act in the office.
Yeah, we're right. It's all marketing.
Sorry.
We all need PR people.
So coming out, let's talk about that. Yeah. Because I came out about 4 years ago, not in the same way you did, but I came out with my doubts about God. You know, I used to be a pastor. I host a, you know, a big spiritual talk show. It happens to be on a God station. And so we get angry callers when I say things like, I'm not even sure there is a God anymore. And that was a huge deal. And I this is going to sound incredibly pathetic, but for the first time in my life, I could relate a tiny bit to those in the gay, lesbian, I don't even know what the terms are, you know, community, whatever, you know, you guys coming out. I could just relate.
A little bit of adversity.
Yes, and it's, yeah, and man, I tell you, the judgment and the vitriol, the nonsense, the asinine comments that came from people was just astounding from my point of view. So, how did you? I mean, so is this what's your story? What's your? Do you say what's your gay story? Is that what you say?
My gay story.
What is your story?
Well, I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, people are, whenever I have a drink at an airport bar, that's when it's like secrets are on and people just ask whatever questions. And the most common question that, like, some dude from the South that's traveling for work will ask me is like, how did you know you were gay?
Wow.
And the answer is that, like, you know, you always knew, but you never knew. It's like gay things, you would have these, you know, gay instincts or thoughts, but they would just go, it was like gay Memento, you know the movie Memento?
Memento.
Like that, but with gay stuff. Like, I would come home from softball practice, gel my mushroom cut, and clip out pictures of Jennifer Love Hewitt from People magazine, and just be like, thank God I'm straight.
Yeah.
And it's not until, for me, it's not until I fell in love for the first time with my first girlfriend lived in Montreal. I was doing the Just for Last festival, and she was a driver, and I met her, and I felt it, you know? Like, it was very, everything that I'd been trying to simulate or emulate or whatever, you know, from the movies with these dudes that I'd been dating, it was just there. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, quivering. And so it was undeniable. And then from there, you know, you usually come out as bisexual, because how could everything I've been telling myself be a lie? And then you realize, oh, no, this is what makes sense. And actually, sexuality is a lot vaguer than what's being marketed or educated.
Right.
Sexuality is actually very vague. Like, I could, you know, if there were no woman, of course I could find men attractive. If I had never met or fallen in love with a woman, which is unlikely because I'm gay, but I could, you know, there is a percentage of me, if you want to look at it that way, there's an aspect of me that's very attracted to men, but it's just not, it's like completely trumped by the sparks that happen with a woman.
Sure, sure. Okay, so the first person you told in your family was?
My mother.
And she was the safest, obviously, like you were a little tripping about telling dad?
Yeah, well, you know, I was scared to come out to my dad because he's Muslim, so now he expects me to get like 10 wives.
She's here all week, folks.
SabrinaJalise.com for tickets to my tour, by the way. But anyway,
no, hold on, we're not at the tour part yet. I've got it, you know.
I know, but I get nervous. Don't you know? I started this interview telling you I've got sweat dripping down my upper lip, dripping down my whole face. I have no idea where I am. Pulled off on the side of a highway. A truck almost smashed me. I'm doing a lot just to be talking to you right now.
I love you. I care about you deeply.
Okay, but hold on. So I came up to my mom. My mom's whole thing in the beginning was, I just don't believe you. As if Ashton Kutcher was going to jump out of the other room. You've been psyched. It was actually amazing when I came up to my dad. My mom said, I can't keep this a secret. My parents are very close. I can't keep this a secret from your father anymore. It was like 2 days. And so I remember like the longest walk up the stairs. My dad was in his bedroom. And I said, you know, Dad, Mom, I told Mom I'm dating a woman and I'm gay and she doesn't believe me. And my dad was so sweet. He was like, well, and it could go either way, right? Like if my dad, I would have been under the bus if my dad also freaked out. But he said, you know, I think your mom is probably surprised, but she doesn't realize we didn't raise you guys to be liars. So if this is what you're saying, then we have to deal with it.
Can you say more stuff like the way your dad would say it? That's very hot. I like that.
Okay, well, you know, I'm walking into the room, lighting some candles, because I just farted. Misdirect.
Total misdirect. Lisa Merchant, have you worked with Lisa at all?
Yeah, I love Lisa Merchant.
Yeah, I love her too. I just had to bring her name up because I care about her a lot too, even though her cats died. And she fell off her bicycle and broke her wrist last year.
Did she?
Yeah. She's an old, old improv coach of mine. So,
awesome.
Let's talk about, the tour. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brown Listed Tour started on Friday, June 14th in Tarana, Ontario. But we have listeners all over this great country of ours. And so if you are anywhere near Ottawa tomorrow night, I believe.
That's right.
At Centrepoint Theatre. Why does it say Friday? It says Friday. It says June 23rd, Friday. That's wrong, by the way.
Where is that saying that?
That's on the press release you sent me.
Oh, shit. Someone getting fired at the PR company.
Yeah, baby. June 28th, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Scotiabank Studio Theater. Let's hope that's a Sunday. Which I'm doing the math here, and it doesn't say anyway. June 30th in St. John's. Here's where she's going, folks. Halifax, St. John's, Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg. Go to your local Sabrina Jalees website. Sabrina, and the last name is spelled JALEES.com, and you'll find all things Sabish. keychains and coffee mugs and all sorts. Now listen, are you making money off of your rejection?
That's a question that when I first was coming up with the tour was sort of sparked after the Huffington Post article, and I got these amazing messages from people that remembered me from Video on Trial and stuff across Canada, and I'm always announcing these American tour dates because I'm trying to make America like me. And I realized, I had not had a tour of Canada. I often go back for corporates and stuff, and I said, you know what, enough is enough. I'd like to go back and hug all of these people and show them what I've been up to in New York. So with the timing being what it was, and my stand-up is very biographical, also the messages I got from the Huffington Post article were, it seemed to have inspired people to come out or to make one step towards being honest with the people around them. Even though it's a tragic story, I think at the end of the day, it inspired some people. And I think, for me, it wasn't just cathartic. It was awesome to feel that I was maybe helping some people. And so at the end of the day, yes. Am I talking to you right now because you heard my story on maybe Humble and Fred and you were like, hey, let's have this girl on, because she's got a story about her family, so be it. It's true. I think I am getting more press because I've got something interesting to talk about. But to me, this is what I do. I talk about
exactly
things in my life.
Yeah, no,
And honestly, if it didn't go so badly, if my family had come back and said, "We just need time. We love you," I would never have spoken about this so openly, because to me, I can respect that. But the lack of love and just the cowardly and shockingly hurtful way that things went down, I felt that I needed, that this is something that I needed to talk about.
See, if I was you, I would have a hard time respecting not only the people who have rejected you, but their belief system that is so-called forcing them to, apparently react that way. And so I would look at the Muslim faith, if that is what is indeed, making them be so whatever about you. If that's making them brownlist you, then screw the Muslim faith.
Why that, though? I mean, that sucks. I mean, there was Muslims that read my article in the Huffington Post that said, I pray to Allah that your family will come around, and God bless, you and your wife. There's ways of interpreting religion. And, my in-laws are a great example, where they are Catholic. They go to church every Sunday, a military family from the South in the U.S. All the odds are stacked against them ever loving me. But I've gone hunting with my father-in-law, and he doesn't shoot me, which in America means I love you.
You're the best. You are the bestest. No, I wanted to bring up that point because, you know, I'm just trying to hear the Christian people listening to this interview going, well, you know, then ditch the Muslim stuff, you know, and come on over to Jesus land because, you know, because we're all about love. Jesus is about love. And yet the only person to call in during this interview was someone saying that we shouldn't be giving you airtime for this story because it's just we give too much airtime to the gays on the Google.
You know, I feel like I think that it's going to be a hard time in history for those, you know, those types of people who sort of want to create sides because, you know, as we evolve, look at the race. Look at what happened with race. Those are the same people that would call in and say you're giving way too much airtime to these, you know, biracial couples that want equality. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I think, especially if you live in a city, first lesson you learn is that people are people. Like, you know, there's all these stereotypes that Asians are cheap and Pakistanis are cheap. Yeah, I mean, we're all cheap. We're all people and we're all cheap is the lesson.
Right, right. You know, I could see a tour. I could see a tour with you and Carla Collins. I could see that.
I mean, let her know. I'd love to tour with her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's as nuts as you are, and you should go. You and her at the flying you and her at the Flying Beaver would be an amazing week of comedy. Let me tell you.
Let's do it. You want to produce it?
No, I can't. You know what? Having any kind of control over Carla Collins is just that's an oxymoron. That's not a reality. That's just insanity. There. Listen, I if I ever get a chance to meet you, I will say it to your face. I really stinking like you. So. There you go.
Thank you. I really stink like you too. That's why I lit the candles.
You're so funny. Folks, Sabrina Jalees, she is the prodigal daughter of Comedy Returns Home, your first ever Canadian tour. You know, she's got all this great stuff on her website. You got to go to it, SabrinaJalees.com, SabrinaJalees.com. She's hitting...
You can actually check out my wedding video on my website, too.
There you go. Okay. She's hitting Ottawa, Halifax, St. John's, Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg for tickets and all things Sabrina Jalees. Go to the website. Sabrina, thank you so much for your time, and I hope it goes real well this afternoon.
Thank you, Drew.
Talk to you.
Bye.
There you go, folks. Sabrina Jalees, prodigal daughter of comedy, returns home for her first ever Canadian tour. I like that girl.
Mm-hmm. Good interview.
We'll be right back. Well, I'm thinking and I'm shaking and I'm looking for the riverside. Hey folks, it's that time of year again where every August and the first half of September we replay our most unforgettable interviews of the year and our regular advertising partners love it because our listenership goes right through the roof. So now imagine me telling everyone about your charity, product, business, or special event right alongside back-to-back celebrity interviews with the likes of Mark Burnett, the creator of Survivor, or Charlie's Angel, Cheryl Ladd, or the co-host of The Today Show, Kathy Lee Gifford, or Justin Bieber's mom, Patti Millette. Pretty cool, huh? So here's the deal. We'll offer you 7 weeks of advertising, which includes me reading your 20-second commercial at least 5 times per show. And we'll place an advertisement banner on 4 of our most visited drewmarshall.ca pages for 2 months. Now, all of this would typically cost about $1,300, but you get it for only $828 plus tax. That's a 35% savings. But wait, there's more. I've always wanted to say that. Don't forget that all our advertising during our 10th season gets an additional 10% off. So that's a 45% total savings. 7 weeks of radio advertising for only $745 plus tax. That's about $100 per week. Crazy. Anyway, this is your last chance to take advantage of our 10th anniversary discount pricing. And seriously, spaces are limited for our summer break special, so go to drewmarshall.ca and sign up today. No, like, right now. Go now. Don't wait. Now. Seriously, right now. Oh, okay, now.